Saturday the 22nd of June 2019 marks the ongoing Edinburgh Pride March towards full global equality for the LGBTQ plus community. And RNIB is excited to be having an RNIB Scotland stand at Pride Edinburgh this year. Now here to tell us more, I'm joined by Mike Holroyd, who's a volunteer facilitator with the West of Scotland RNIB. Hi there, Mike.
Hello, Simon.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Now, what are the plans for Saturday then for the Edinburgh Pride?
So we will be running a stall at Edinburgh Pride. Delighted that the Edinburgh Pride felt it was so important for us to be there that they've given us that free. So that's fantastic. From 12 o'clock, the doors open and it'll be running all afternoon till 5 p.m. And we're really just there to just so that people can find out a bit more about what we do, about what it means to live with visual impairment. And just to reach out to yet another community, really. Some of us will be going on the march just before that, which is the Pride March, which attracts thousands of people of all different backgrounds.
And it's a bit longer this year, I believe. The march is usually it stops about halfway, but it's going straight through this year, so it's a longer march.
Yeah, I believe the route has changed slightly, so that'll be good to see a bit more of Edinburgh and to have more of a presence.
So in what way, you say, RNIB are reaching out to that community? How are they doing that?
Well, I think as RNIB, we are here for everyone, regardless of background. I'm part of the team, which works a lot with diversity. So it's not just about gender identity or transgender status or sexuality, but of course, all the various what we might call protected characteristics that are reflective of the whole community of blind and partially sighted people. So we have already supported the setting up of an LGBT group in Glasgow. We're starting some work in Edinburgh too. But it's more than that. It's not just about setting up kind of groups specially for LGBT people. It's also about having a presence at things like Pride, because it may reach out to somebody who's gay or somebody who's bisexual or transgendered or lesbian. But equally, it might be somebody who wants to find out about their mum or their dad or their grandparents and what they might be experiencing in terms of sight loss. So it's really about those things coming together, about RNIB reaching out to the LGBT community, but also the LGBT community finding RNIB and the resources that we provide.
Now, we tend to think of this country as, diversity is getting better, but we're still a long way to go. What are some of the challenges, then, for those who are living with partial sight or perhaps severe sight loss in the LGBTQ plus community, then?
I think the challenges will be different for every single individual. But certainly since being part of the LGBT group in Glasgow, we've had lots of conversations about how actually, and this is particularly from a gay male perspective, how difficult it can be in so-called gay-friendly venues who have got that bit right, but are not very clued up as far as accessibility is concerned, whether it's somebody who's a wheelchair user, somebody who has walking difficulties, or somebody who's visually impaired. So there is a lot to do in terms of enabling the LGBTQ plus community to be more inclusive. And of course, that can have an impact if you live with a visual impairment and you're also you're gay or lesbian, bisexual, transgendered. You can experience multiple discrimination, and that can obviously in turn have quite a huge impact on people's mental health.
And do you think some people perhaps who are fighting with this choice or dealing with this choice, I've spoken to transgender people before, a lady last year, and obviously there was the sight loss complications. But then she was learning how to use makeup. She was, how to have a different wardrobe, and that was all having to be learned after losing all her sight.
Yeah, I mean, I want to just pick up on one word you've used there, which is choice. It's not a choice. It's whether you're gay or transgendered, whatever. This is not a lifestyle choice. This is it's really important to recognise that it's a way of being. It's often a recognition by somebody of who they are. So, of course, there are going to be huge challenges for people who perhaps come out, as it were, later on in life. They have had experience of sight, perhaps, and the challenges of not only just coming out and accepting their own sexuality or gender identity, but also, trying to work out what that means as a visually impaired person. And that's quite a big challenge.
Yeah, I wasn't meaning to, I understand what you're saying about the choice. It's not a choice, but the choice to actually come out at the right time. I know this person agonised over this for years until they finally made that decision. But that time, the sight had really gone. So it kind of made the challenges even more of a challenge, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, you know, the whole business of coming out is a very, very complex one. And for some people, you know, there is a decision that's made. Some people, it kind of happens without deciding. And then for others, of course, there is never a full coming out. And all of those things are fine. You know, it's very important for people to be able to embrace their own journey and be able to deal with things as they become appropriate. But I think even as visually impaired people, regardless of our sexuality, there's a kind of coming out process there as well about accepting our visual impairment, recognizing that that's part of who we are, and then adjusting our lives accordingly. So I think there's a sense, although there's a double challenge, there's also a sense in which we can learn from the experience of LGBT communities and others about that whole thing of coming out and accepting ourselves. I do, you know, I've worked in the sight loss sector for a long time and obviously got my own experience of sight loss. And I do come across a lot of people for whom the biggest barrier to sight loss has been accepting it, and you could say the same for people in the LGBT community. So there are many overlaps and things to learn from one another.
Yeah, because there's still that pressure to conform to what is perceived to be the norm, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And if you're visually impaired and you're gay, as I am, then, you know, there's two norms that I'm not addressing at the moment. Of course, if we dig deep in all people, then, you know, we've all got our own individual characteristics. We've all got our ways in which we differ and what is normal at the end of the day. But as a society, we often like to pretend that there is this thing called normality. And it's very convenient because it means we can then look down upon people who aren't normal. That's the way in which societies often work. So, you know, embracing diversity, celebrating LGBT, celebrating visual impairment, it's actually quite a big challenge. And although we are getting better at it as a society, it's still actually quite countercultural. It's something that we still need to work hard at.
So this Saturday, the march takes place, and you'll be on the march. For anybody that's not done that before, who's visually impaired and thinking, you know, I'd like to join in with this, any sort of preparations you should make?
The marches, and I've done one or two before, they are sort of busy places, often quite loud. The pace is fairly slow. But I would sort of see if you can connect with somebody. I actually, at a personal level, go with my church, which is also a very inclusive organisation. And we feel it's important to be there. So I have people that I will be going with. So I think if you want to go on the Pride March, then there's no reason why you can't do it as a visually impaired person. And if you're really stuck, then obviously give me a call or an email and I'll see what I can do to sort you out.
Well, could we have your contacts then for anybody who'd like to get in touch?
Yeah, of course. So email address, email's good. I seem to be permanently attached to my phone, which is mike.holroyd, H-O-L-R-O-Y-D, at rnib.org.uk. And my phone number, 077-12-539-409.
The march takes place this Saturday. It's the 22nd of June. And if you'd like to pop along and see Mike and, you know, perhaps dip your toes in the water, ask some questions or whatever, then feel free to do that. But in the meantime, Mike, thanks for coming in and wish you the best of luck for the march on Saturday.
Thanks, Simon.